You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
If you would get in your Bibles, please, Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. The week before the revival, we started a new series and we called it Grow. And so this series basically is about helping people to grow in Christ. And so what we're talking about is not just grow in the church numerically, that we want more people to be in the church, but we want you as an individual to grow in Christ. And so who you are now in Christ should be further down the road. You've grown, you've matured than you were 6 months ago, a year ago. And this is one of the things that's on my heart, is that many times there are people that are attending church for years, but they themselves are not growing. They haven't gone any further. And so even though we look like we're a crowd here, there's a lot of people in this room, if we are not growing as individuals, eventually this will just fade away. This will blow away. But if we will grow as individuals, not only will we remain, but this will grow. How many want this to grow?
Amen.
Amen. And so this is what we're dealing with. And so the first one we spoke about was the Word of God. Remember that? We spoke about the Bible. And I hope people are reading their Bibles. And that invigorated you to kind of engage yourself in the Scriptures more and be disciplined. If you missed that, it is online. You can go to our website. And so you can get that sermon there. Also, if you're working with someone, you're following up on someone, and you think that would be beneficial for them, send them a link. You can just, we all got smartphones now. You send them that link if you don't know how to do that. And I'm sure we can find someone that can help you. But that would be good. The key to any relationship is what? Communication. Any relationship, the key to any relationship is communication. Someone said love, and amen, that's a good one. But what we're talking about is the relationship is communication. When communication breaks down, then the relationship breaks down. You ever had a friend, and you was tight with your friend, and then all of a sudden, it's like you stopped talking. Something's happened, or a family member, and that friendship is now breaking down. It can happen with friends, it can happen with family, it can happen in a marriage. When communication goes, mark my words, put a pin in this, remember this, when communication breaks down, that relationship will suffer.
Yeah.
I want to say this, is that prayer is our communication with God. Prayer is our communication with God. What does this mean? When your prayer life is not healthy, your communication with God is not healthy, means your relationship is not healthy. Let me repeat that. When your prayer life is not healthy, when you're not praying, you don't pray. That means you're not communicating with God. That means that your relationship with God, there's something wrong there. And usually we can find someone who is not growing in Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but if you go to the doctors many times, one of the things that they'll do is they'll measure your pulse. Anybody had that? They'll measure your pulse, and somehow they can see a variety of different illnesses because they're measuring your pulse, and the pulse of the individual can tell them if something's wrong. And so they could measure your pulse by your wrist, or whether they have other more sophisticated machines to read that. But I want to say to you today, tonight, for us to know whether your relationship with God is healthy. How many want to know if they're healthy in Christ? What we're going to do today, we're not going to measure your pulse. We're going to measure your prayer life. Because when we measure your prayer life, we're going to know it's something wrong. So you may look all good on the outside today. You've got your church clothes on. You've got your church face on. Amen. You're looking at me like, yep, I'm all right. But we're going to measure and we're going to look at your prayer life. Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. Father, we just believe this is a privilege and a pleasure that we can pray to you, that we can make requests, that we can come before you and communicate with you. I pray right now that you would come down in this service. We feel your presence. I pray that you would minister, Father, to the new convert, to the weary saint, to the established saint. I pray, Father, that you would invigorate our prayer life. Let us communicate with you, Father, and let us know Christ more. Father, most of all, we pray that you would magnify Jesus in your house. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to say that prayer is something that the Bible institutes from the very get-go, from the beginning. In Genesis 4, the Bible says that, and this is the beginning, obviously Genesis means the beginning. It says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Four chapters into Genesis, we see in the very beginning of the Bible, in the very beginning of the very beginning, the first book, what we see is prayer, men calling on the name of God. And so all throughout the scriptures, we understand that prayer is a key part of life. Now, why am I saying this? Because many times when you come to church, you hear the pastor talk about prayer. There's prayer meeting, prayer before church. Let's pray when we go on outreach. Let's pray when we go on impact team. Let's pray over our food. Let's pray before the concert. And, you know, and all of these things. And so the concert guys say, come early. We need to be praying. The outreach guys that pray. And so we're like, oh, it's all about Potter's House. Pray, pray. Listen, prayer is not a Potter's House thing. Prayer is a God thing. We didn't invent it. We didn't design it. This is not our own idea, our genius. What it is, it's a God thing. And if you're going to grow, you need to understand that this is a key part of your relationship with God. Look at someone and say, this is the key. Look back and say, you need it. Hallelujah. Okay, Genesis 32 verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my fathers Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, and the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, I will deal well with you. We see Jacob was praying to God. We see in the Psalms, I've just picked one out there that kind of expresses the heart of prayer. Psalms 86 verse 1, bow down. Down your ear, meaning come close to me, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God, save your servants who trust in you. Again, bow down your ear. God, someone calling out to God. This is prayer. James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The Bible says that Elijah, one thing it notices about Elijah, it says Elijah was a man of prayer. David was a man of prayer. The patriarchs were men of prayer. That alone kind of sells it that we should be people of prayer. But how many know as a Christian, we want to be more like who?
Christ.
We want to be more like Jesus. Well, let's look at Jesus. Did Jesus pray? Yes. Luke 11 verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. We did a whole series, Teach Us to Pray. How many remember that last year? And so think about this now. Jesus is praying, and something about the way this man prays impacts the disciples. They don't say, teach us to preach. They don't say, you know, teach us to cast out devils. They don't say, teach us to walk on water. They don't say, teach us to heal lepers. They say, teach us to pray. There was something that was the signature mark about his life. Do people see you and see your signature mark is prayer? That you're known for prayer. That's what it should be as a Christian, that we should be known for prayer, that people see that, you know what, prayer is an essential aspect of the Christian's life. We can be known for many things. We should be known for prayer. Jesus was a man that was known for prayer. We understand he's the Son of God, but he was known for prayer. Mark 1 verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Look at someone say, that's early. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. What it says is, Jesus, how many want to be like Jesus? If you want to be like Jesus, very simple, get up early and pray. Morning prayer. Morning prayer. You see, I've got no amens there. No amens. That cut the amens in half, man. That is whoosh. You want to be, I want to be like Jesus. And I said, get up in the morning, early, before the day, before the sun even rises, and pray. Oh yeah, well, you know, Jesus is, you know, he's half God and fully man. And Jesus found a place. Listen, every single Christian in this place, you need to find a place where you can pray. Where you get up in the morning and you will pray to God and say, God, you need to help me through the day. You need to commit that day to God. I'm not going to debate with you. Listen, if you don't want to do it, don't come to me afterwards. I want to debate with you. No. Don't debate with me. Just don't do it. You don't want to do it, don't debate with me. I'm not here to debate with you. You don't do it. And we'll see in 5 years' time who wants to follow you. Because prayer changes things. Jesus prayed. Now, I want you to think about this now. If Jesus felt the need to pray, how much more us? If Jesus felt that need and said, you know what? I need that constant communion with the Father. I need that relationship. I need that reassurance. I need that connection with the Father where he would make time and get up and speak to the Father and pray. How much more us? Doesn't it reflect gross negligence if we refuse to pray? If we make no time for praying, how can you say that you love somebody, but you never make time to speak to them? You never make time to communicate with them. If we want to be like Jesus, prayer needs to be an important factor into our lives. See, prayer is the plan of God. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, very famous passage of scripture. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is God speaking. God is saying, if... How many here are saved? You're a person of God. You're one of God's children. Okay, so... God is saying this, if you will pray, if Courtney will pray, if you will pray, God says, I then will do some things. But if you pray, so the facts is this, if you don't pray, then it doesn't get done. God is urging us. It's almost like God is saying, please, if you would just only pray, I would get involved in your life. I would get involved in those circumstances and those situations that you're going through right now. He uses this word, seek my face. When I was a kid, there was a game, I'm sure many of you played it. It was called Hide and Seek. There you go. And so someone would run into the corner and start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Start counting, and then they'd get to 100. Come out, and they're like, they're going to be seeking you. You ever done things like that? And so, so they're running around. So if you've ever, you know, I remember playing, I think I played it with my sister, and she'd like be hiding behind someone like this. You know, you could just see her blatantly. And then I would like hide on top of the wardrobe in a little box. She would never get me, man. I'd be there all day. It was 9 years difference, though, so I guess that exposes me. But this is the issue. If something is on plain sight, if it's there, if I said, okay, I want you to seek the pulpit. It's like, we don't need to seek that. We can see it. But if I said, I want you to seek my car keys, then that would make sense. Because be like, where are the car keys? And search maybe, go in my bag, go here. To say the word to seek, what it's communicating is that it's not going to be easily observable. You can't just glance and see it there. And what God is saying is that God is a God who desires to be seeked. And many people are like, oh, you know what? I don't believe in God because God... No. Listen, God is not just going to expose himself and display all of his holiness and righteousness and all of his character to everybody. God says, I need to be sought. You need to seek me to know me. And many Christians, they're not willing to seek God, and so they don't know God to a deep level because they're not seeking him. God is almost showing us that, no, I'm not, you know, let me say that this is going to be a crude illustration, an analogy, but you can get the picture. Well, it's almost like God is playing hide and seek with us. That God is concealing parts of himself and saying, only when you seek me do you find it. And many times people want to casually open their Bible, casually come to church, casually be a Christian, casually evangelize, casually give, and think that somehow they're going to find the deeper things of God. And God says, no, only those that seek me will truly find out who I am, truly find the deeper, more revelation about me. This is why you can see someone who has sought God and they know God so powerfully and such a divine revelation that they'd be willing to die. Because it's so real to them. Because they've sought God. And other people, is that they even if their boss was to say, listen, I don't know if I'm a Christian anymore. Or they go for the smallest little temptation. Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going to leave church now. And I'm not persecuting them. I'm not blaming them. If I had that, if I had the revelation they had, then I'd probably forsake him the way they forsake him. And the reality is, God doesn't love anybody more than anybody else. God is always willing to reveal himself. But if you got to seek him. And people that have sought him, seeking him, get to know him, realer, more, just so tangible that it's like, you know what, no. It'd almost be like denying their own name, their own family, their own existence to turn from him. God is calling us into prayer. Mark 11 verse 17, the Bible says, then he taught, speaking about Jesus, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Many of us know this passage of scripture where Jesus goes into the temple, turns over. I love this passage of scripture. Jesus goes Johnny Rambo into the temple. I love it. Jesus goes in there, turning over tables, making a whip, whipping man out of the temple. Listen, move out. No one don't say nothing to Jesus. You can't deal with it. Listen, anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I get distracted when I start to speak about Jesus like that. But let's stay on point. Jesus doesn't say a house of preaching. Jesus doesn't say a house of prophecy. Jesus doesn't say a house of anything else. Other things, they're good. A house of feeding the poor. That's good. He didn't say a house of, you know, praise and worship. No. He said, God says this, my house is a house of prayer. God says, my house is a house of prayer. This is why an hour before every service, we make time for prayer. I remember when we was negotiating coming to this building, and we said, listen, we need an hour before. And so there was that, well, you know what, Pastor Courtney, you could save money if you just didn't have the hour before, come in, start the service. I said, no, we need the hour of prayer. We'll pay whatever. I'd rather pay more with prayer than pay less without it. Because I don't want to get up here and have to stand and try to preach.
Yeah, come on.
When there has been no preparation of prayer. Because the Bible says that God's house is a house of prayer. Matthew 26:41 says this: watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what the Bible says is that people that pray can resist temptation. How many have ever felt tempted? Oh, my days, you guys are just too holy, man. Woo! No temptation. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many have ever given in to temptation? Don't do it, please. Think about how many have ever gone through a trial, and maybe right now you are in a tempting situation. You're so tempted to do what you know to do is wrong. I mean, how many times it's not about knowing what to do. It's the power to do what you know to do. Sometimes people are, oh, I'm so confused. No, you're not confused. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. I'm so confused. You know, this guy, you know what to do, sis. You're not confused. The issue is the power to do what is right. That's why we say we're confused. Jesus says this: if you will pray, when you pray, it gives you the ability to handle the temptations that the world brings to you. It even gives it from the scripture that almost if we pray, certain temptations we wouldn't even enter into. Certain trials, certain things, maybe those temptations that, because we know in the Bible it says that God will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to handle. But maybe through prayer, we wouldn't even go into certain temptations. I don't know all the dynamics, but I know this much. Jesus is saying, if you want victory in your Christian walk, you've got to be someone of prayer. Just coming to church is not going to help you. You know what's going to happen? You'll come in, you'll hear the preaching, and you're like, praise God, rah, rah, rah. And you'll come down to the altar, praise God, and maybe you'll shed some tears. I'm living for Jesus. And you go back to your friend, I'm living for Jesus. Did you hear that word? Praise God, it's Sunday afternoon. You leave here 5 o'clock, you're charged up, you go to a fellowship, 6, 7, 8. You get home, that starts to go down now. Monday, you go to work, and now you're feeling weak already. And Tuesday, you're back in the same old compromise. Because can I say to you today, as wonderful and anointing as my preaching is, I am not foolish, prideful, or arrogant enough to believe that my preaching alone is going to hold you. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to get up day after day and say, God, help me. God, keep me. God, preserve me. God, guide me. God, show me. God, defend me. God, protect me. God, do this, do that. You've got to do that day in and day out, and God will keep you. But the problem is we don't. That's what the problem is. We want to ride the hype of the experience of a service, but we're not growing. And let me tell you how foolish this is. This is like going into a gym. You know, like when you join a gym. I remember going to one of these gyms. I didn't join it. It's a bit expensive, but who knows? Maybe one day. One of these Virgin gyms. You ever been to a Virgin gym? They show me around a Virgin gym. Some of you are in Virgin gym. The players. The ballers. Well, I was in this Virgin gym. They showed me everything here. They said the spa's here. They said this is there. And I was like, oh, I like this gym. Yeah, you could go here, you could go there. And it's almost like me coming out of seeing this, experiencing all what they can offer me, and then thinking somehow I'm fitter. Just because I've got excited about the experience of visiting a new gym. Yeah, praise God. Woo! Yeah, they've got free weights, they've got cables, they've got this, they've got that, they've got spin glasses, they've got power plates, they, woo! Yeah, they got that, they got drinks there, they got this. Oh yeah, praise God, wonderful. And somehow, yeah, I feel my six pack's coming back. No. That's how foolish it is, by just simply coming to church and thinking somehow if I come here, I'm just going to be fixed. Listen, this will get you so far.
Yeah, come on.
But this won't get you all the way. See, church and preaching and all of that is just to point you to Christ.
Yeah.
It's to stir you and encourage you and exalt you and lift you and get you, yes, stirred up so that you go home and you pray throughout the week. There are different types of prayer. In our text, he talks about supplication. That was Philippians 4, verse 6. Supplication really means a crying out. This is desperate prayer. This is not daily prayer. We understand daily prayer. Daily prayer is what Jesus taught us. Daily prayer. And so there's that formula there. Glory be to, you know, the God's glory, kingdom come, your will be done, you know, and all of this stuff. And it's daily prayer because he says, provide our daily bread. That's a daily prayer. Everybody has, you should have a daily prayer. God, keep me today, help me today, protect me today, protect my health. You should have a daily prayer. Protect me at work, protect my family, protect my children, protect my wife, protect my husband. You should have a daily prayer. We should all have a daily prayer. But then there's also supplication. And supplication is when there's an urgency, when you're desperate about something. This is when you're crying out. This is when something, you know, something's happened to a family member. This is when a debt is just, oh, this debt, and now they're going to kick you out of your house, or something's gone. Supplication. Not only is there supplication, but it's also intercession. Intercession prayer, intercessory prayer, is when, the word intercession means when you go to someone else on the behalf of someone else. And so what it is, it's like if there's Joe here, and I go to Bob to talk about Joe. Bob, you need to help Joe. Intercessory prayer is when you go and pray to God about others. You know, some people say to me, I don't really understand this. They say, oh, Pastor, I've got nothing to pray about. Nothing to pray about at all? Do you not? You don't know anybody that has any needs? You don't have any family or any friends? You don't know anyone who's not saved? You've never met anyone who's not saved? Are you in a cocoon, a bubble? See, if you really understood intercessory prayer, how many know we wouldn't have enough hours in the day to pray? Because you're mentioning people, you're going before God, intercessory prayer. We should be praying for our unsafe family members. Amen. Do you know, if you actually go through everyone that gets saved, usually you always find someone in their family somewhere that was praying for them. Nearly always. Someone somewhere, even like a gran or an aunt, or even someone you think, I'm not even sure if they're that saved, but they were praying.
Yeah.
Or someone that was praying for someone somewhere. Heaven and hell is real.
Right.
And your unsaved love members, if they do not know Christ, they're going to hell. And that alone should propel you day after day to get on your knees and get out of your bed in the morning and say, God, preserve them until they come to know you. Intercessory prayer. You know, a sister or brother's going through financial difficulties, family difficulties, praying for them. Matthew 17, prayer and fasting. Jesus says, certain things do not change without prayer and fasting. Certain things. Listen, if you've been praying about something and it's not changing, you need to go without some food. You need to pray and fast. If you're really serious about something, you know, sometimes people come to you and they'll be like, oh, I heard about sister so-and-so. You know, she hasn't been in church for a while. And I heard that, you know, maybe she's... Listen. Well, you need to... Because, you know, some people like to gossip, but then they like to just coat it in, like, concern. you ever seen that one? It's really gossip, but they've wrapped it in the bag of concern. I'm just concerned. Before they even got there, I said, listen, why don't you fast for them? Why don't you fast for them? Just a one day fast. Hey, let's do it together. They'll be like, yeah, listen, they won't come to you no more and gossip about nobody. Because certain things don't move unless you pray and fast. You want your ministry to be fruitful. You want your witness to be empowered. You want things to move. Jesus says certain demons, certain devils, certain strongholds do not move unless we pray and fast. The Bible speaks about praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians. We understand that we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We believe in speaking in tongues. And so obviously that's done in the proper manner as the Bible tells us. But we see that. We also see praying in the congregation, coming together for prayer. Actually, you see that all throughout the book of Acts, they came together and they prayed together. And we also see secret prayer in Matthew 6 verse 6. And so this corporate prayer, we have a prayer meeting every Monday. And so, listen, some of you, it would be good for you to come to the prayer meeting on a Monday. Things that you're trying to get a breakthrough, get a hold of something, get God to move. The prayer meeting. That you would come and say, God, I need to move forward. Some of you, your spirituality, your Christianity, it's like you're not growing. You're not moving forward. Take some time and say, you know what, I'm going to start coming to the prayer meeting. Because I need a breakthrough. Secret prayer. Jesus says this, when you go and pray, he says, pray in secret. And then your Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Do you know some people like to pray long in public, but never pray in private? Some people, if you ask them to open in prayer, they it's almost like my days. Mighty God, omnipotent, transcendent, holy God, you have expanded the universe. And you've only asked them to bless the food. But you know the damage, and listen, I'm not against that. If that's your style, go for it. But listen, the damning thing about it is that some of these people, if you used to follow them with those little cameras, they never pray at home. They never get out of their bed. Each day, the Holy Ghost is saying, speak to me. Speak to me. Push back that cover. Push it back. Come on. Come on. You can do it. How many know prayer is the simplest thing, but it can be so hard? Yes. If we'll be honest here today, prayer can be very hard. Listen, if you meet someone that says, oh, prayer's simple, they're not even praying. So before you go around here with your super spiritual self, the reality is prayer is difficult because we are carnal and prayer is spiritual. And we need God to transform us and sanctify us. See, prayer is going to take a few things, but faith, humility, discipline. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Bible says you've got to have faith. You've got to come to God in faith. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. You need humility. Humility, why humility is because what you're doing is you're admitting that, you know what, God, I can't do this without you. The problem is many of us are self-confident. And the reason why many of us are self-confident is that we remain in our comfort zone. This is why God sometimes wants to push you into an area of life which is beyond you. To some of you, you don't really like making friends. And God says, listen, I want you to start making friends. Oh, no, I can't do that. And God is pushing you. Because what he wants you to do, he wants you to go into a place, an area where you can't do this. And then you really need God for prayer. There are some people here, God is calling you into the ministry. It's God calling you. There's pastors here. Pastor's wife, she's like, oh, I can't do this. God is calling you. He wants to push you. And so that for you to do it, you need to pray, God, I need you. Some of you, God is calling you to cut off certain things, worldly friends. And how am I going to make money? How am I going to live? How am I going to have this? How am I going to have that? And you're like, oh, how's it going to work? God is pushing you into a place that you say, I can't do it. So many times people say this to me, Pastor, I can't do it. You're right. You can't. None of us can. None of us can do it. See, if you're not in a place, if you're not trying to do things that you can't do, then you're not walking with God anymore. See, God is leading you to places which are beyond you, so that you need Him, and you have to pray and cry out to Him and make supplication and say, God, if you don't come through for me and help me and carry me and enable me, empower me, I cannot do this. And once you cry out to God, He downloads the ability, the power, the supernatural. And you tap into that and you move forward.
That's right.
There's no way I could be a pastor without God. There's no way. I didn't want to be a pastor without God. Even when I was saved, I loved God. Go on outreach, tithe, do everything. I didn't want to be a pastor. I had no desire. But God was calling me.
Come on.
Pushing me and saying, listen, I've got something for you. And as I step into what God, I have to rely upon Him. What is God pulling you? Where is he leading you? That you're going to need prayer. You're going to need that prayer. But it's going to take humility. You need discipline. Many people here, you start to pray for 1 day, 2 days, and then you don't pray for another month, then 1 day, 2 days. You need consistency. If you're going to see any change, physical change, you want to go to the gym, you can't go to the gym once a month and expect change. Basically, you have to keep reintroducing your muscles to the weights. That's what it is. You go to the gym, the next day you're hurting for the next week, and then you don't go for a month, and then the next week you do the same thing. Next month. No. You need consistency.
Sure.
Many people, they want to get fitter, they go on a diet, they starve themselves for 2 days, and then they forget for the next month and eat everything in the whole supermarket and then starve themselves again the next month, and you see no change. You got to learn discipline and consistency. Even small disciplines, even if you said 15 minutes a day I will get up early and pray, you would see major, tremendous difference in your walk with God. Just 15 minutes a day. We're not saying 2 hours. You may get to that. Prayer is war. Prayer is a battle, church. Daniel 9 verse 21 says this: while I was speaking in prayer. This is Daniel, was a man of prayer. The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening. So Daniel was praying. And the Bible says that Gabriel comes. And when you read the context of it, Gabriel is doing battle in the heavenly realms. He starts to speak about the prince of Persia and of Greece. And so there's a battle going on. This is spiritual warfare in the heavens, powers and principalities. And the Bible says, when Daniel was praying, this angel turns up. Not playing, but praying. See, there's a connection here. And listen to what he says in chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your mind to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. When you started to pray, we heard your words and I was sent. This angel, this defender, this power of God was released when the man of God was praying. See, think about how many strongholds and how many battles are not being won because we're not praying. Think about how many people are walking around Wandsworth demon possessed. How many drug dealers, how many prostitutes, how many young people are being shot or stabbed. How many people are not getting saved or going into false religion. When we walk around, look at them, that false religion, that person, this person, and we get angry. Look at them, ghetto you, look at them. What we need to do is go on our knees and pray and start binding the spirits that are driving them. They are just the puppets. We need to come against the puppeteers, the ones that are pulling the strings. We need to come against strongholds, powers, and principalities. We need to tear down some walls in this area, in this borough, in this region, and say, God, we need you to come through.
Amen.
See, that's what it takes. Not one man. It can't be just a pastor. We need prayer warriors that will rise up and say, God, we're going to take dominion. Amen. See, prayer has power. Prayer changes things. Prayer will change you. Because of time, I'm not going to go into it all, but the Bible says this in Matthew. It says that when Jesus is about to go to the cross to be crucified, the Bible says that Jesus feels heavy. And he's sweating drops of blood. Blood is mixed in with his sweat. And it's actually a medical condition. If you in gross anxiety, that could actually happen to you. And so Jesus is heavy and this is going on. And Jesus goes down and he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many have read that? Yes. Jesus is praying. And he goes back and he says to the disciples, they're sleeping. He says, couldn't you pray for an hour? And he goes back and he says, Father, if there's any way that this cup can be removed from me, but you know what? Not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus is praying and he's praying and he's praying. And so here is this man that does not want to be crucified. Don't get it twisted. Don't romance your Bible doctrine. You read the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself. He doesn't want to go to the cross. He wants us to be saved, but he's like, this is serious. But he prays, and the Bible says after he prays, he gets up and he says, let's go. See, there are things that we need to do we can't do unless we pray. See, prayer will change you. There's some of you here, God is calling, God is speaking to you, he's dealing with you about something, and you're like, I can't do it. You can't. But if you would get down with God and pray, he will change you. He will change you. Prayer changes you. Pastor, why am I not changing? I want to be like these people. I want to love God like that. Are you praying? If you pray, God will change you. The reason you're not changing is because you're not praying. If you will not pray, then he cannot change you. He will not change you. It's as simple as that. As we will pray and cry out to God and say, God, that's why we sing those songs. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart. God, I need you to change my heart. Prayer changes things. James 5, verse 17, I read the text. Elijah was a man of nature like us. Think about this now. The Bible says that Elijah was a man like us. You know what that means? Is that he's just normal. Same as us. Elijah was not a superhero. He was not Batman, Spider-Man, one of the 4 or 5 Power Rangers, whoever they are. The Bible says, but he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Think about this now. The Bible says a normal man can pray earnestly and could see miraculous things done. The Bible is saying in your life, you are human, he's human. If you would pray earnestly, God will change it. God can change anything. This was a miracle. It didn't rain for 3 years and then it rained. God can do the miraculous. Many Christians nowadays, we don't believe it. We're not contending for it. If you don't believe it, you don't contend for it, you'll never see it. In the Bible, think about what he's saying here. Why is this scripture in the Bible? I'm going to close with this. Some of you have fallen asleep. Listen to what it says here. Why would he say this? Why would someone say, look, this guy's just like you. This guy's just like you. The only reason he'd say that is this. This is the reason why I'd say it. So that you would realize you can do it. That's why God. That's why it's in the Bible. He's saying you can do this. You can move in what God is doing. Just like how God used him, he can use you. Are you praying big things? Prayer will change you. Prayer will change things. The Bible says in Acts 16:25, last scripture, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. The Bible says that Paul and Silas were in a prison. They're in a dark situation. And the Bible says, as they began to pray, God shook the prison. Can I say to you today, God can shake that prison you're in today. Because in our scripture it says this, do not be anxious for nothing. You know, anxious is anxiety. Do you know there are people that have anxiety attacks? There's some of you today, you might be anxious. You're anxious about life, anxious about your future, anxious about your finances, anxious about your kids. You're anxious. You're anxious about life. The Bible says, do not be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, go to God. A praying man shouldn't be an anxious man. The reason we're anxious is because we're not praying. God is saying, listen, in that deepest, darkest pit that you're in, if you would pray and praise God, God can shake it. God can shake hell off your life. God can shake your situation till you are freed.
Amen.
It's reserved for the man or woman that will say, you know what? I'm not going to have this. Paul and Silas could have been like, you know what? They got us. Bang to rights, man. Why did God allow this to happen to us? God, when I get out of here, forget this preaching thing, man. No. They prayed and they sung praises. And God says, you know what? I like that. See, when you can pray in a prison, there's something inside of you. When you can pray in a prison, some of you here, maybe you feel like you're in a prison right now. Maybe God doesn't feel as close to you as he once did. Maybe situations and circumstances don't feel the way they used to. You don't understand what life, why you are, where you are, and how you are. But I'm telling you this much. If you can pray, and really all of us can pray. I love this because think about it. Praying is the simplest thing. A child can pray. You could teach a child to pray. I've seen children pray. Kneel down, Heavenly Father. Anybody can pray. Imagine if God said, no, that if you got to figure out the circumference of the planet, we'd be like, my days, I'm lost. But all God says, all you need to do is pray. After we've looked at all of this today, and we've taken the pulse of your walk with God, how many of you here are happy with it? Or how many of you here would be honest and say, you know what? I'm not healthy. Not as healthy as I should be. I want to change some things. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.